Krishna. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadha. Yashoda Nandana Braj Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braj Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Shripada Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtottara Shri Srinivasa Divine Grace Avacharan Aravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 1 చాప్టర్ 1 వర్స్ 1.
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. జన్మాద్యస్యతోన్వయాదితరతశ్చార్థేష్వభిజ్ఞ స్వరా తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయాది కవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్సూరయా. తేజోవారి మృదాం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా. ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదితరతశ్చార్థేష్వభిజ్ఞ స్వరా తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయాది కవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్సూరయ. తేజోవారి మృదాం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా. ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదితరతశ్చార్థేష్వభిజ్ఞ స్వరా తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయాది కవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్సూరయ. తేజోవారి మృదాం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా. ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. తేజోవారి మృదాం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయాది కవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్సూరయా. తేజోవారి మృదాం तेजो वारिमृणां यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो दृशा आलासेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि
माताजी
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
offering my obeisances, Bhagavate, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudevaya, unto Vasudev, into Vasudev, the son of Vasudev, our Lord Sri Krishna, the primeval Lord, Janma Adi, creation, sustenance and destruction, Asya, of the manifested universes, Yatah, from whom, Anvayat, directly, Itaratah, indirectly, Cha, and Artheshu, purposes, Abhigya, fully cognizant, Swarat, fully independent, Tene, imparted, Brahma, the Vedic knowledge, Trida, the consciousness of the heart, Yaha, one who, Adi Kavaye, unto the original created being, Muhyanti, our illusion, Yat, about whom, Surayaha, great sages and demigods, Tejaha, fire, Vari, water, Mridam, earth, Yatha, as much as, Vinimayaha, action and reaction, Yatra, whereupon, Trisargaha, three modes of nature, Amrisha, almost factual, Dhamna, along with all transcendental paraphernalia, Svena, self-sufficiently, Sada, always, Nirasta, negation by absence, Kuhakam, illusion, Satyam, truth, Param, absolute, Dhimahi, I do meditate upon. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O my Lord Sri Krishna, son of Vasudev, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the prime evil cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire or land seen on water. Only because of him do the material universes temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. So this is a long purport, a section that I'm supposed to read today. Yeah. In the Shruti Mantra, it is also stated that the absolute whole or Brahman is the ultimate source of everything. Everything emanates from him and everything is maintained by him. And at the end, everything enters into him. That is the law of nature. In the Smriti Mantra, the same is confirmed. It is said that the source from which everything emanates at the beginning of Brahma's millennium and the reservoir to which everything ultimately enters is the absolute truth or Brahman. Material scientists take it for granted that the ultimate source of the planetary system is the sun, but they are unable to explain the source of the sun. Herein, the ultimate source is explained. According to the Vedic literatures, Brahma, who may be compared to the sun, is not the ultimate creator. It is stated in this shloka that Brahma was taught Vedic knowledge by the personality of Godhead. One may argue that Brahma, being the original living being, could not be inspired because there was no other living being at that time. Herein it is stated that the Supreme Lord inspired the secondary creator Brahma in order that Brahma could carry out his creative functions. So the supreme intelligence behind all creations is the absolute Godhead, Sri Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna states that it is he only who superintends the creative energy, Prakriti, which constitutes the totality of matter. Therefore, Sri Vyasadev does not worship Brahma, but the Supreme Lord who guides Brahma in his creative activities. In this shloka, the particular words Abhigya and Swarat are significant. These two words distinguish the Supreme Lord from all other living entities. No other living entity is either Abhigya or Swarat. That is, no one is either fully cognizant or fully independent. Even Brahma has to meditate upon the Supreme Lord in order to create. Then what to speak of great scientists like Einstein? The brains of such a scientist are certainly not the products of any human being. Scientists cannot manufacture such a brain. And what to speak of foolish atheists who defy the authority of the Lord? Even Mayavadi impersonalists who flatter themselves that they can become one with the Lord are neither Abhigya nor Swarat. Such impersonalists undergo severe austerities to acquire knowledge to become one with the Lord. But ultimately they become dependent on some rich disciple who supplies them with money to build monasteries and temples. Atheists like Ravana or Hiranyakashipu had to undergo severe penances before they could flout the authority of the Lord. But ultimately they were rendered helpless and they could not save themselves when the Lord appeared before them as cruel death. There is also the cause with the modern atheists who also dare to flout the authority of the Lord. Such atheists will be dealt with similarly, for history repeats itself. Whenever men neglect the authority of the Lord, nature and her laws are there to penalize them. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita in the well-known verse, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanihi. Whenever there is a decline of dharma and a rise in adharma, O Arjuna, then I incarnate myself. That the Supreme Lord is all perfect is confirmed in all Shruti Mantras. It is stated in the Shruti Mantras that the all perfect Lord threw a glance over matter and thus created all living beings. The living beings are parts and parcels of the Lord, and he impregnates the vast material creation with seeds of spiritual sparks. And thus the creative energies are set in motion to enact so many wonderful creations. An atheist may argue that Lord is no more expert than a watchmaker, but of course God is greater because he can create machines in duplicate male and female forms. The male and female forms of different types of machineries go on producing innumerable similar machines without God's further attention. If a man could manufacture such a set of machines that could produce other machines without his attention, then he could approach the intelligence of God. But that is not possible, for each machine has to be handled individually. Therefore, no one can create as well as God. Another name for God is Asam Urdhva, which means that no one is equal to or greater than him. Param Satyam, or the Supreme Truth, is he who has no equal or superior. It is confirmed in the Shruti Mantras. It is stated that before the creation of the material universe, there existed the Lord only, who is the master of everyone. That Lord instructed Brahma in Vedic knowledge. That Lord has to be obeyed in all respects.
Anyone who wants to get rid of the material entanglement must surrender unto him. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita.
Umagyana timirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale Svayam rupa kadamahiyam dadati svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. So typically in ISKCON we use this phrase at the end of the class. And typically it means that it is now an indication that the class is over. Prasadam time has come. Time to wake up from the slumber. Whenever we speak, whenever we hear these, Om Namo. Nahin. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. But then we have been seeing that how the past several classes different devotees have been extolling the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, the previous canto, the last chapter, was all about glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. And no matter how much this great piece of literature is glorified, we can't approach it in totality. We can't understand it in totality. Because one of the names of the Supreme Lord is Ananta. The Supreme Lord is unlimited, and so are His potencies. The potencies of the Lord are unlimited, and so are His pastimes. The pastimes of the Lord are also unlimited. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he compares the pastimes of the Lord to an unlimited ocean, agatha gambhir, unlimited ocean which has practically no boundaries. And Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is mentioning that I am unable to fathom the depths of this ocean, the expanse of this ocean. Dubete nahi pare, sparshe rahe tir, he is saying. I am unable to reach to the bottom of this ocean. All that I can do is touch the surface of the ocean being on the shore. So similarly, you know, whatever we have been hearing about the Supreme Lord, the pastimes of the Lord are really unlimited. On this one verse, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, he spoke for one full month. You know, foolish as I am, I wanted to try to find out, you know, can I get something, you know, what he spoke on. And indeed I came across, you won't believe, internet is also a vast ocean. I actually came across his entire commentary, but guess what? It was all written in Bengali. Even though it was present before me, sparshe, I was not even able to touch it. Sparshe rahiti, that was also not possible. So that is how we can understand the blessings of Srila Prabhupada, how he made that inaccessible ocean accessible to all of us. And the more we associate with Srimad Bhagavatam, the more we understand two things. One is the perfect nature of the process of Krishna consciousness. In the 11th canto, the Navayogendras, they are speaking to Maharaj Nimi. Yanasthaya naro rajan na pramadyeta karhichit dhavan nimilyava netre na skhale na patediha. He's saying the path of Krishna consciousness, the path of bhakti is so perfect that even one runs at full speed with his eyes blindfolded, both of his eyes are folded. Even if someone runs with his eyes blindfolded, there is no question of slipping, na skhaled, skhalan, bhuskalan, landslide, wayward, na skhaled, na patediha. One will never slip and one will never trip off. That is the perfect nature of the path of Krishna consciousness. Srila Sridhar Swami, in the purport to this particular verse, he mentions that the Vedic literatures, the Shrutis and Smritis, they are the two eyes of a devotee, of a Brahmana, of a spiritual practitioner. And even if a person is deprived of all the purports of the Vedic literatures, what is there in the Shrutis and what is there in the Smritis? He mentions that closing one's eyes refers to being in ignorance of standard Vedic literatures. The Shruti and Smriti scriptures are the two eyes of the Brahmanas. Lacking one of them, a Brahmana is half blind, and deprived of both, he is considered completely blind. But Srila Prabhupada, he explains in the Bhagavad Gita that even if a devotee does not take advantage of the Vedic literatures, even if he is not nipun in the Shastric shlokas and understanding, if he is sincere in his devotional service, he is helped by Krishna himself within his heart. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. So even if this path is so perfect that even if one is unaware of the imports of the Vedic literatures but is very nicely practicing Krishna consciousness, there is no question of slipping or tripping down. But there is a catch. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he clarifies, there is no reason to be too happy. Just listen to this. He says, the words yanasthaya, the shloka begins, yanasthaya naro rajan. The words yanasthaya indicate that the exalted status of a Vaishnava can never be accorded to one who is not following the basic regulations of bhakti yoga, nor can it apply to one who is sometimes serving Krishna and sometimes serving the material energy. And I guess many of us would fall into that category. So yes, the process of Krishna consciousness is perfect, but more we study Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand that yes, the process of bhakti is perfect, but at the same time, we as practitioners need to persevere. There is a need for perseverance and there is a long way to go before we attain that perfect platform. And therefore, when we read, when we go across these purports of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can appreciate how Srila Prabhupada, he not only presented the different aspects of bhakti, but he also presented the various details, how those aspects can be applied in our day-to-day life. And along with the aspects of Krishna consciousness, along with the application of the principles, he also awarded us with the association of devotees so that we can actually practice and reap the benefits of Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore we can count on the good fortune that we have. The good fortune that has been bestowed upon us by our founder Acharya, that every day we get to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. That is such a big fortune in itself. I mean, it said that, what a way to begin a day with the darshan of the deities, with the hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, with the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. But then, like it is said, that familiarity breeds contempt. Many times when we daily read Srimad Bhagavatam, we daily sit in the classes of Bhagavatam, daily chant the holy names of the Lord, there could be a risk of losing the importance, losing or, you know, undermining the importance of the great fortune that has been bestowed upon us. Because we have heard that the nature of the mind, the nature of the material mind, is to take significant things to be insignificant and insignificant things to be very much significant. And therefore, it is our responsibility, it is our task to daily remind ourselves of what is significant and what is not. Coming back to the first verse, we understand that how we have heard that how Srila Vyasadeva, he had compiled all the different Vedas, and he had put together the Ramayana and the Brahma Sutras, not the Brahma Sutras, the Vedanta Sutra. But still he was feeling dissatisfied. And he approaches Narad Muni, and Narad Muni, he tells them, because you have not sufficiently glorified, you have not exclusively and sufficiently glorified the Supreme Lord, that is the reason for your dissension. And therefore, you must attempt to glorify exclusively the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This whole narration is also spoken of by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his conversation with Prakashananda Saraswati in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, talking with Prakashananda Saraswati, he is extolling the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that how Vyasadeva, he begins this narration. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord himself, is glorifying Lord Vyasadeva. How he begins this, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam, the first verse. And what does he say? He says, Gayatri ra arthaye grantha arambhana satyam param sambandha dhimahi sadhana prayojana. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an explanation of the Brahma Gayatri mantra. The absolute truth, satyam param, indicates the relationship. And we meditate on him, or dhimahi, indicates the execution of devotional service and the ultimate goal of life. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining how in this very first verse, Srila Vyasadeva is explaining the sambandha gyan, the abhideya gyan, and the prayojan. All three of these are present in this very first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Vyasadeva, in this very first verse, he is giving this indirect advice that, look, I had been meditating on so many other things, what could benefit the people of Kali Yuga, but still I was dissatisfied. And therefore, now, what I am meditating upon, if all of us can also meditate upon the same things, we will also derive that same satisfaction. The reason why we feel dissatisfied in life is because our meditation might be somewhere else. And therefore, in this very first verse, Srila Vyasadeva is giving this indirect advice that meditate, know and connect with the perfect object of meditation. So today in our discussion, we'll focus on the last verse, the last word that we see, dhimahi. What is Srila Vyasadeva wanting to convey to us through this one word, dhimahi? In the Bhagavad Gita, the aspects of wrong meditation are described. Dhyayato vishayanapunsam sangasteshu upajayate, and the whole process is explained. How wrong meditation, where the pitfalls of wrong meditation is described in the Bhagavad Gita. And Srimad Bhagavatam is all about the right kind of meditation. How the right kind of meditation will benefit us in the correct way. And the 10 topics, the Atra Sarga Visargascha, and the 10 topics that have been explained. In the Katha Upanishad, the mind is described to be the reins of the chariot, which controls the senses, the horses. And therefore, it is important for us to pause and ponder, how is my mind controlling my senses? Because the experience and the end result that we get in life, the experiences that we get in life and the end result where we reach in life is very much dependent what the mind is focusing on. And therefore, if we can ponder on a regular basis, what are my objects of meditation, even as a spiritual sadhaka, Are we pondering too much? Are we meditating too much on what we lack? Or are we meditating on what we have in life? Are we meditating on the failures that we have experienced in life, or are we meditating on the opportunities that lie before us in our lives? Are we meditating too much on the bad news that we come across, or is my meditation on the good news that is before me? Is my meditation too much on how I have been treated by others, or is my meditation on how can I invest in my relationships? You understand, these are two different aspects, how the mind can be focused in two different ways. Is my mind meditating on the objects of sense gratification, even spiritual sense gratification, or my mind is meditating on service to Sri Krishna? So these are some checkpoints that we can have for ourselves to ascertain where is my mind focused on. And therefore, it is very important to find whether my particular mind is in a negative frame or in the positive frame. And there has to be a constant effort to control the mind from the negative frame and push it into the positive frame. Because as Prabhupada mentions in one of the purports in Bhagavad Gita, for one whose mind is unbridled or uncontrolled, self-realization is difficult to work. One who is not making that endeavor to pull the mind from the negative frame and push it into the positive frame, for such a person, self-realization is difficult to work. Even Arjuna in the Gita, he accepts, he is proclaiming, Chanchalam hi manah Krishna. My mind is too restless. Pramathi balavadridham. It is so difficult to control. And guess what? In the next verse, Krishna attests. He says, yes, the nature of the mind is that, yes, the mind is restless. And therefore, how to control it, Krishna is mentioning. It has to be done with practice and detachment. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, what is the meaning of this practice? This practice is the practice of the ninefold process of devotional service. Prabhupada is writing, this is a very powerful transcendental method for purging the mind of all misgivings. The more one hears about Krishna, the more one becomes enlightened and detached from everything that draws the mind away from Krishna. Then it defines what is Vairagya. Vairagya means detachment from matter and engagement of the mind in spirit. By detaching the mind from activities not devoted to the Lord, one can very easily learn Vairagya. This is practical because by hearing about Krishna, one becomes automatically attached to the Supreme Spirit. This attachment is called Paresh Anubhava or spiritual satisfaction. And Prabhupada gives the example that just like a person who experiences satisfaction upon eating, or he gives another example that just like a person experiences wellness or curing of a disease by taking the proper medication and appropriate diet. Similarly, Prabhupada is writing, hearing of the transcendental activities of Lord Krishna is therefore expert treatment for the mind, for the mad mind. And eating the foodstuff offered to Krishna is the appropriate diet for the suffering patient. So this is what Dhimahi refers here to. You know, what is our object of meditation currently? And the first verse helps us or gives us the clue what should be our meditation. And therefore, here there is this indirect advice of Sri Vyasadeva that one should know Lord Sri Krishna properly and one should get strongly connected to Krishna. I remember when I had initially come to Krishna consciousness, I was not so much aware of, what Srimad Bhagavatam is and, the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Although we had heard about Dhruva and we had heard there was some Narsingadev and some Prahlad and, Gopis in Vrindavan is a place. We had heard some bits and pieces here and there. But about Srimad Bhagavatam, I very much remember in the early 90s, ISKCON television. The ISKCON television had come up with a two-part video, The New World of Hare Krishna. How many of you have watched the new world of Hare Krishna? I mean, nowadays people don't watch, but that new world of Hare Krishna, I very much remember, it began with the invocation of this very first verse. Would you like to hear that?
I have it here with me.
O my Lord Sri Krishna, son of Vasudeva, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of creation, sustenance and destruction of the manifested universes. It is he who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. Only because of him do the material universes, temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature, appear factual. I therefore meditate upon him who is eternally existent in the transcendental world, which is forever free from the impersonal representations of the material world.
So this is how that video began, and I very distinctly remember it was so captivating that if this is what Krishna could be, it is worth giving a try. Right? Now, the entire personality of Lord Sri Krishna summed up in one particular verse. And we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Srimad Bhagavatam begins and ends with this encouragement, encouraging us with one single meditation. Know and connect to Krishna properly. This is the entire message put in gist of Srimad Bhagavatam. How one should connect to Krishna in a very strong manner. And so many examples mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam where devotees themselves are implementing this principle. We see the example of Parikshit Maharaj, example of Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, the Prachetas, all the devotees that, you know, find a place in Srimad Bhagavatam, they are just implementing this one principle of connecting to Krishna in a very strong manner. And therefore, what are the benefits of such a connection? There are twofold benefits. The first benefit of connecting to Krishna strongly is that one is stable in the times of turbulences. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he gives the example of the redwood trees in California. These redwood trees are so huge and tall. But even in great cyclones, these trees, they do not, you know, crash down. They do not fall. Why? Because they are very strongly connected in the root level. And because unless and until the tree is strongly connected, the root is very strongly connected to the ground, it can't stand strong. Similarly, in our lives also, we can't expect a smooth sailing. There have to be turbulences. Life in the material world is such that there are going to be highs and lows. There are going to be disturbing times. There are going to be cyclones and torpedoes and, you know, all these turbulences in life. And therefore, unless and until a person is strongly connected to the root, unless and until the person is strongly connected to the Supreme Lord, one can't be stable in Krishna consciousness. One can't feel that stability in life. And therefore, along with being stable in the times of turbulences, one also understands strong connectivity to Krishna also helps me surpass the effect of material world, surpass the material existence in totality. Krishna mentions, antakale cha mam eva smaran muktva kalevaram yah prayati sa madbhavam nahi asti yatra shamsaya. There is no doubt about it that if one is very strongly connected to me, one will remember me at the time of death and will attain my nature without fail. So yes, we experience that stability in times of turbulences while living in this world, and at the end of our life we surpass the material existence altogether. And here in this particular verse, Srila Vyasadeva is explaining why Krishna has to be our sole object of meditation. Why Krishna? There could be so many other positive things. Why Krishna? So he's giving these seven features of the Supreme, you know, personality. Why one should meditate upon Sri Krishna? And he's mentioning, this has been acronymed as Krishna himself. So Krishna, he is the knower of everything. He is Abhigya. The Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahmaji is mentioning how Krishna is present everywhere. You can know some things only when you are present there, right? If I am present here, I can see how these devotees are, you know, plucking tulsi leaves. If I am not present here, I can't understand how this process is being done, right? Similarly, you know, only if someone is present at a particular place, he can understand how things are being carried out. And Brahmaji is mentioning Krishna is present everywhere. Andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham. He is present inside every atom and he is present in the space between two atoms. And because Krishna is present everywhere, omnipresent, he is abhigya. He is aware of everything. He is aware of the past, the present and future. And he is also present in everyone's heart. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto. And therefore, one should, this comes as a sort of relief that yes, because Krishna is present everywhere, he is also aware of the difficulties and challenges that as a spiritual practitioner, I am going through. And therefore, Krishna is not a sadist who takes pleasure in seeing, I know what you are going through, you know, but I'll just, you know, be on the side and watch. Watch the difficult times you are going through. No, Krishna is not a sadist. Krishna is willing to offer all help. The question is, how eager are we to accept that help of the Supreme Lord? So yes, Krishna is the knower of everything. He is abhigya. Krishna is the reason behind all creation, sustenance and destruction of the entire creation. Janmadi asya yatah anvayad itaratas, whether directly or charthveshu, whether directly or indirectly. And therefore, this is what Prabhupada explains, that this is what makes Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead. He is the reason behind the entire creation, sustenance and destruction. Prabhupada used to give the example that, you know, your father, what was the name of your father? What was the name of your father's father? What was the name of his father? The extent at which this question stops, the point at which this question stops, that is by definition the supreme. And therefore, Krishna, because he is the source of everything, he is the reason behind the entire creation, sustenance and destruction. That is why, that is what makes him the supreme personality of Godhead. Krishna is independent. He is Swarat. Yesterday, His Grace Shyamanand Prabhu was giving the example of the German traveler. You know, how Krishna, he went to different temples of the demigods and finally comes to the temple of Krishna and he sees Krishna just playing a flute. And that is when he understand that, you know, Krishna is not obliged to do anything. Although everything is happening under his supervision, he is not questionable. He is not obliged to, one can't corner Krishna or one can't, you know, hold Krishna for anything. And therefore, he is completely Swarat, without any anxiety, without any obligations and without any bindings. We see the example that, you know, in the Vrajalila, how the Vrajavasis, they had so intense affection for Krishna. And Krishna had been reciprocating to all of them, you know, in such nice, beautiful ways. Still, he exhibited his Swarat nature by leaving Sri Vrindavan Dham. That he is not subjected, he is not obliged by anything, period. Nothing can hold him back. He is completely independent. Then Krishna is the spiritual master. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye. Lord Brahma, the secondary creator, he imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji. And we hear that how this is one of the responsibilities or one of the duties of a spiritual master. Divya Jnana Hridaya Prakashi. So every day we sing in the Guru Puja that the spiritual master, he imparts Divya Jnana or transcendental knowledge within the heart of the disciple and helps him understand the spiritual realities. Similarly, the Supreme Lord, he imparted spiritual knowledge into the heart of Brahmaji, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kave. Not just Brahmaji, in Gita himself, Krishna mentions how he had given this transcendental knowledge to Sun God Vivaswan. And because in course of time, this entire parampara had been lost or forgotten, now he is again giving this knowledge to Arjuna. So yes, Krishna is the supreme spiritual master. Krishna is hallucinating. He is the cause of all illusion. Even great demigods like Brahmaji, we read from the Brahma Vimohan Leela, in his incarnation as Mohini Murti, he bewilders Lord Shiva himself. So if these great personalities like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva can be subjected to the hallucination or subjected to the illusory effect of the Supreme Lord, what to talk of, you know, tiny puny creatures like all of us. And therefore, it is not a question of whether we will fall into illusion or not. It is understood that most of us, I can't say for everyone, but then most of us here are in illusion, subjected very deep in illusion. And therefore, the right question to ask is, how do we take shelter of Krishna to come out of this illusion? And in this particular first verse, Vyasadeva is explaining, he's explaining his own example, how he is following that principles of prapadyante, how he is taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. And further, Vyasadeva is explaining about the nature of the creation of the Lord, the nature of the material creation, yatra trisargo mrsha, how this entire material creation, even though being put together by the force of the material modes, still it appears to be very much factual. Just like a rainbow is there, now one may look at a rainbow, it may appear to be very fascinating, but actually there is nothing. It is just an appearance, right? Another example is given that just like when you watch the screen of a cinema, you know, all that is there on the screen are some light beams. Some light beams are falling, and there is a change in the manner in which those light beams are falling. But those light beams give us an impression that some reality is present over there. You know, something is happening, and that drives our entire emotions. You know, people cry and people laugh seeing the play of lights on a flat surface. Similarly, the modes of material nature, they are also acting, you know, so wonderfully that everything appears to be so very much factual. But actually, you know, that is not the proper reality. So yes, that is the nature of the material creation, and he also explains the nature of the spiritual creation. Dhamna swena sada nirasta kuhukam. The spiritual creation, swena, refers to self-sufficient. It is self-sufficient in itself. It's not required. Natad bhasyate suryo na shashanko na pavakah. You know, there is no need of sun to come and illuminate the spiritual creation. There is no need of, you know, wind or electricity. And it is perpetually free of illusion. Sada nirasta kuhukam. There is no illusion at all. And finally, Srila Vyasadeva is mentioning that how the Supreme Lord, he is the absolute truth. Why is Supreme Lord the absolute truth? Because his identity, his interactions, and his instructions are absolute in nature. The identity of the Supreme, the identity of Krishna is absolute. He is Sat Chit Ananda. He is eternal. There is no question of, you know, Krishna coming into being and, you know, disappearing. He is eternally present and eternally expanding and appearing in different places, times and circumstances. But he has an eternal existence in the spiritual world. Sat Chit, he is all knowing. Abhigya, we saw. And Swarat, Sat Chit Ananda, he is full of bliss. So the identity of the Supreme Lord, that is absolute in nature. The interactions of the Supreme Lord with the different people in this entire creation, that is also absolute in nature. And it is absolute in the sense that anyone who interacts with the Supreme, the effect of that interaction is that it is all purifying. You know, whether one is, what is that verse? Whether one is all pure or ओम अपवित्र पवित्रो वा सर्वावस्थाम गतोपि वा यह स्मरेत पुंडरीकाक्षम सब बाह्य अभ्यंतर सुचि ही. सो द नेचर ऑफ इंटरैक्टिंग विद कृष्णा इज दैट वन इज बाउंड टू बी प्यूरिफाइड एंड वी फाइंड द एग्जाम्पल्स ऑफ यू नो पूतना इन श्रीमद भागवतम. वी फाइंड द एग्जाम्पल ऑफ कालिया इन श्रीमद भागवतम. दीज पर्सनैलिटीज दे डिंट हैव द करेक्ट द परफेक्ट इंटेंशन वाइल इंटरैक्टिंग विद कृष्णा. स्टिल दे रिसीव्ड द प्यूरिफाइंग इफेक्ट. फाइंड द एग्जाम्पल ऑफ शिशुपाल, you know, completely opposed to Krishna, still he was, you know, he received that sarupya mukti, the Supreme Lord. And finally, the instructions of Supreme Lord, they are also absolute in nature. We find the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, those same instructions had such a effect on Arjuna that he was reinstated in his duty and he carried about his duty with full determination. And the same instruction we find 5,000 years down the line. When those instructions are implemented, even 5,000 years down the line, they have the same effect which they had on Arjuna then. So similarly, the identity of Krishna, the interactions of Krishna and the instructions of Krishna, they are all perfect. They are satyam param. They are the absolute, they are absolute in nature. And therefore, when we hear these features, these seven features of the Lord, we may feel that understanding Krishna might be a very mammoth task, might be a very, you know, difficult. How can we understand, you know, the abhigya nature of the Lord, the, you know, absolute nature of the Lord? Srila Prabhupada puts it very simple, comes to our help. In one sentence, he clarifies, how can this be done? In one of his conversations with a reporter, the reporter was understanding, was asking Srila Prabhupada that, you have written so many books and this whole movement, Krishna consciousness, appears to be very complex and so many, you know, understandings are there. Prabhupada stopped him. And Prabhupada says, if you want to understand this movement through science and philosophy, we have got hundreds of books for you. These books helps you understand the movement through all detailed, you know, science and philosophy. You know, for a complex mind, a mind who is very complex, who wants all types of logic and reasoning and vaad and vivaad and all sorts of those things, there are hundreds of books that are there, which explain everything in very detail. But, Prabhupada says, otherwise it is very simple. You can reap all the benefit just by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This gives us the benefit and import, and whether our eyes are blindfolded and whatever, you know, just by chanting the holy names of the Lord, one reaps the benefit of the entire knowledge, the entire benefit that is present in the Vedic Shastras. So just to summarize all that we discussed today, we began by explaining how the Lord is Ananta. It is difficult to understand Him in totality, but then Srimad Bhagavatam helps us in that endeavor. In the sense that it helps us understand the perfect nature of the process of bhakti, and it also helps us understand that there is a need to persevere to reap the results of our practice, and therefore we must count on our good fortune that we have received from Srila Prabhupada. Further, we saw the conversation between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prakashananda Saraswati, the glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam that Lord Chaitanya is giving. The first verse where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions that Vyasadev is invoking this Brahma Gayatri mantra, and he's explaining his object of meditation. And further we saw the indirect advice that Srila Vyasadev is giving to us via this verse is to know Krishna properly and to connect with Him properly, dhimahi. And we saw how the Bhagavad Gita explains the aspects and pitfall of the wrong meditation, whereas Srimad Bhagavatam gives us the sources and the benefits of the right meditation. And the experience that we have in life and the end result where we reach in life is very much dependent on what the mind is focused on, what the mind is meditating on. And therefore, no matter how busy we may be in our day-to-day lives, it is worth pausing and pondering, you know, what is the object of my meditation. Whether I am meditating on what I lack or what I have, my failures or my opportunities, the bad news or the good news before me, how I have been treated by others, or you know, the opportunities of investing in the relationships I have. Is my mind meditating too much on the sense gratification or the service that I have before me? And therefore, further Srila Vyasadeva is explaining what is to be the right object of meditation and the benefits we saw. One is stable in the turbulences of life, and one is able to surpass the material existence by the proper meditation. And this proper meditation, Krishna, Srila Vyasadeva is introducing Krishna in the very first verse as the knower of everything, abhigya, as the reason behind all creation, sustenance, destruction, janamadiyasyataha, as independent swarat, as the supreme spiritual master, tene brahma hridaya adi kavaye, as the supreme hallucinator, the cause of falling into illusion of even the great demigods, muhyanti at surayaha, then the nature of his creation, the material creation, trisarga mrisha, and the spiritual creation, dhamna swena nara sada nirast kohakam, and finally the absolute truth, satyam param, in the sense that the identity of the Supreme Lord, the interactions of the Supreme Lord, and the instructions of the Supreme Lord, they are absolute in nature. With those words, we would like to stop here. Thank you all very much for being here and listening to this beautiful advice of Srila Vyasadeva. Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki. Jai Srila Vyasadeva ki. Jai His Divine Grace Srila Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki.
Amazing beginning of 1.1.1. The six or seven beginning here.
Amazing. Beautiful clarity. So, Tamisha class, beautiful clarity and very.